Thank you for being good to my wife. And the preacher is so right. I would not be where I'm at today if it wasn't for my wife. And I know that. I really do know that. And I don't have time to tell you what she means to me and what she is to me. And I could not do what I do without her. I really couldn't. And we're praying together that God will let us both go up in the rapture. Of course, we're going to go up. What I mean by that is together. Together. And I'm talking about alive. Leave out here alive together. And I know we're going to be changed. My mom twinkling an eye. And I know we'll be caught up together according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But I don't want to get one of these bodies out of the graveyard. I want to go up alive together. Amen. And I'm really praying that. And it's a very good possibility it could happen this week. Absolutely. Amen. If you're not saved, guess what? You'll be left behind. All hell will break out on this earth after Jesus comes. But I'm glad I'm not going to be here. Amen. And if you're not saved tonight, y'all to consider that. Y'all think about that tonight. Because that is going to happen as sure as I'm standing where I'm standing. That is going to happen. Well, good to be here tonight. Good to see you in service tonight. I've enjoyed church already. Good singing by the choir tonight. One of my favorite songs. I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. I started old time. I am old time. And I'm going to finish old time. I like that. I sure do. And I appreciate the good singing by the choir tonight. Then, Brother Seth, I have never heard that song. But I'm telling you, that was a blessing. Tremendous. He did a great job singing it. Not only did a great job singing it, the message in the song. And that was great. Did you write that song? You didn't write that song. But anyhow, that was great. Have you ever sang any of the songs I wrote? But anyhow, I really enjoyed that. Then my wife singing one of my favorites. I love hearing her sing that song. And good singing that. Good to be in service tonight. Good to be in the house of God tonight. How many glad you're here? Say amen. 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 Praise the Lord. I appreciate the goodness of God tonight. And I am fed up to hear. You see what he mean? He took me to the lizard restaurant. Is that what it's called? Lizard Thicket. And you'll be thick if you go there. I mean what I'm getting ready to say. I'm 71 years old. I know I don't look it, but I'm 71. I'll be 72 in June. And I've eaten a lot of restaurants. I've eaten all over the United States, literally all over the United States, because I used to be a North American director. I've eaten a good part of Canada. Matter of fact, I've eaten 25 different countries. That's the best food I ever eat tonight in a restaurant. You say you're just saying that. I'm not just saying that. I'm too old just to be saying stuff. I mean what I say. And man, thank you, preacher, Miss Donna. That was great tonight. I really do. And I'm hoping I can remember coming down 77 how to get back to that place sometime. And man, I'm telling you, that's worth driving 100 miles far. It's great. At collard greens. Somebody hold my mute while I shout. You say, I don't like them. You're not sanctified. Man, cabbage, and then that's some of the best meatloaf I've ever eaten in my life. And then them sweet potatoes. Praise God. Man. How many remember the pickup trucks? They used to have sideboards on them. I don't have sideboards on mine, and that ain't the half of it. We ain't going to put no sideboards on it. And it's got a cover over. We're not going to put no sideboards on it. And how many remember the olden days you'd put sideboards on trucks? And man, you'd pile out wood up above the cab. When the preacher got his plate tonight, it had sideboards on it. And he had a piece of flounder about this long hanging off both sides. Man, and you know what he done? He'd every bit of it. He really did. And didn't you? You did, amen. It was great. It really was. And I appreciate the good supper tonight. And I've never been to that restaurant. I talked to my GPS going up the road, and I told it to take me to that restaurant. And I come to find out there's a bunch of them. And I said, take me to the nearest one. Amen. It was great. I enjoyed it tonight. I sure did. Why don't you turn with me tonight? This is Wednesday night. And I thought about a lot of things to preach on tonight. Down in the prophet's chamber tonight, I probably got 75, probably that or more, outlines in my briefcase down there tonight. And but I don't want to preach a message, I want to preach the message. And while I'm here, I want to help you. Is that okay? I want to be a blessing to you. I want to help you. I'm not the pastor here, but I still got a lot of that pastor stuff in me. And I love pastors. I love churches. And I want to give you something tonight that I believe will help you this evening. And also, if you're here and you're not saved tonight, if you'll listen to what I'm going to say tonight, I really believe God will use it even to speak to your heart and show you the need of Christ tonight. I want you to take your Bible and turn with me tonight to the most misunderstood book in the New Testament. It's the most misinterpreted book. It's the most misused book. It's the one where they get surely got a Hyundai love. Y'all really looking at me? The book of Acts. The Acts of the Apostles tonight. And don't you look there with me this evening. And I want to share a little thought with you out of this chapter tonight. Been working in my heart all week. And I believe the Lord wants me to share it with you here on Wednesday night tonight. If the Lord don't change my mind, you don't miss tomorrow night. Acts chapter 17, that's all I'm going to say. Acts chapter 17, would you stand with me, please? Thank you again for being good to my wife. You're good to me when you're good to my wife. And I appreciate it from the very depths of my heart. I mean that. And I'll say more about this Friday night. But he's coming up on 25 years of pastoring the Grace Baptist Church on Highway 21, Orangeburg, South Carolina. 25 years. He's given you the best part of his life. Think about what I'm saying to you. 25 years. I want to say to you, church, and I'll say more about it another night, you ought to do something real big for the preacher and his wife for the 25th anniversary. You want some suggestions? Send them to Hawaii. Can you imagine seeing the pastor one of them grass skirts? Miss Donna, if he puts one on, take some pictures. And I don't do Facebook, but I know people do, and we get it all over the world real quick. 25 years. What a blessing. What a blessing. I'll say more about it another night. I'm going to break right in on the middle of this scripture, but I'll go back in the introduction and give you the meaning of it tonight. The Bible said in Acts 17, verse 6, "And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain of the brethren under the rulers of the city, crying, 'These that turned the world upside down and have come hither also, whom Jason have received, these all do contrary to the decree of Caesar, saying, there is another king, one Jesus.' And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city how when they heard these things." They always trouble lost people when you talk about Jesus. Do you know that? A lost world, they don't want to hear that tonight. He is king tonight, whether you realize or not. He's king tonight. Notice the next verse. Bible said, "They troubled the people and all the rulers of the city, how when they heard these things, and when they had taken security of Jason, they let them go." Let's read it right. "And when they taken security of Jason and of the others, they let them go." Our Heavenly Father, as we look into this chapter tonight and study what you put in our heart, I pray that you'll help us tonight. I realize again tonight, Lord, I stand where man cannot sin alone. I'm aware of that. I'm very aware of that tonight. I realize tonight if there's anything done at all that will have any eternal value, it'll be because you help us tonight. I pray you'll touch my throat, my vocal cords tonight. May I be able to convey the truth that you put in our heart this evening. And I pray make the preaching the Word of God easy tonight. And I pray, God, you'll help your people tonight. You'll bless your people tonight. You'll challenge your people tonight. And do that that's needed tonight. Most of all, I pray tonight for that boy, girl, mom, or daddy that may be here lost tonight. I pray the Spirit of God, how Lord, will fang around their heart. They'll see their need of Christ. And this will be the night they'll get saved by the good grace of God. How, Lord, it could be a new dawn. It could be a new beginning. It could be the greatest day in their life, even tonight, if they'll trust Christ. And I pray how that will happen in the service tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for sending you to be seated tonight. I love studying the book of Acts tonight. When I first got saved, somebody asked me this question: "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" I said, "I believe I have." He said, "Did you speak in an unknown tongue?" I said, no, sir. But I don't talk like I used to talk. I don't cuss anymore. I don't swear anymore. I don't talk dirty and tell dirty jokes anymore. He said, that's pretty good, but you need to get the second blessing. And I'll tell you what that did to me many years ago. Number one, it confused me. And then number two, it caused me how to study the book of Acts tonight. The book of Acts tonight is a transitional book. If you don't study it that way, you'll be confused. It's not only a transitional book tonight, from law to grace, from temple worship to church worship. How about instead of this book tonight, it's a divided book. As a matter of fact, if you study tonight, the first 12 chapters basically is given to the ministry of Peter. How about when you come to chapter 13 and on, it's a ministry of the Apostle Paul. And you never dare to try to prove church doctrine out of the book of Acts. There is some good principles there. How we draw from, we're going to look at some of them tonight. How about you get your church doctrine out of the epistles of Paul? So I'll talk to you a little while tonight out of this chapter tonight. And what I'm going to do tonight, I'm going to stay right in the book of Acts. Everything I say is going to be in the book of Acts tonight. And you'll not be able to keep up with me, so write down the verses. And you can go back and read them tonight. Notice in verse number 6 again. Bible said in verse number 6, and when they found them not, talking about Jason, let me tell you what's happening right here. Paul, and these letters here are on their second missionary journey. How they have left Philippi and they've come over into Thessalonica. If you see the first part of this chapter here, how you'll find they're on their second missionary trip here tonight. And Paul here in these verses here tonight, what he does, he goes into the synagogue and preaches the word of God. Matter of fact, if you go back and look in verse 1, verse 2 also, as his manner was, 3 Sabbath days, 3 weeks, he reasoned with them how the word of God and preached the word of God. And if you look at verse number 3, you see what he preached. He preached Christ must need to die and suffer and be buried and raised again. That was his message. And let me say this tonight. Because of that, they got upset. They really got upset. Look at verse number 4. And some of them, thank God, believed. But look at verse 5. How about the Jews which believe not? How moved with envy. And by the way, can I say this tonight? How the devil always gets mad how when sinners get saved by the grace of God. And what happens here, how when those that believe not, how they take envy against Paul and those guys. And they want to destroy him. They want to throw him in jail. How because of what had happened here. And notice 3 things by way of introduction. Notice first of all tonight, how verse 2 and 3 you see the message. And the message is the gospel. And may I say this to you tonight? It still works tonight. How his Christ died, how Christ buried, and Christ rose again. Hey, can I say this to you tonight? That message still works tonight. Hey, thank God the gospel, how we'll still get the job done. You see the message. But then you see the mystery. How the mystery, look at verse 6. Paul said in verse number 6, and when they found them not, they drew Jason. Now, the mystery is, who in the world's Jason? Where'd he come from? Who is this guy? Matter of fact, if you study your Bible, he's only mentioned twice in the Bible. He's mentioned right here in this verse here, and also he's mentioned in Romans chapter 16 and verse 21. Who is Jason tonight? Can I tell you who he is? He's a nobody, had become a somebody, that he might influence everybody. Can I say that again? I said he was a nobody, had become a somebody that he might influence everybody. What he done was he hid these men away. Had to keep them from being persecuted and hid them away. And I'll just say this to you now. This encourages my heart. Though he's a nobody, he was still used of God. And may I say to you tonight, I feel the same way. Hey, I feel like I'm a nobody tonight. But I'll tell you this tonight. He was a nobody, had become a somebody. Thank God that he might influence everybody. You see the mystery. But then also in this tonight, you see the mess. Look at verse number 6 again. How these has turned the world upside down and come hither also. How the mess tonight, the problem is this. How the world is turned upside down. And they accuse these guys of turning the world upside down. Can I say it this way? You know what the black preacher said? The black preacher said this tremendous message. He said, here's the problem. The devil's turned the world upside down. It's our job to turn it right side up. He may be right. Are y'all hearing me tonight? And the message, the world's turned upside down. And notice what happens here. Those that's unsaved, have those unbelieving Jews, have they look at Paul, these guys here, and say, these has turned the world upside down. Now, hear me tonight. It wasn't a preacher that accused them of that. It was a Christian that accused him of that. How about it was a lost man and lost people. He looked at Paul here and these guys here and said, these has turned the world upside down and have come hither also. I thought about that when I said it today. What an impact they had on a lost and a dying world. And I would preach tonight on this thought. Why they had such a testimony, they turned the world upside down. I'll say that again. I want to preach tonight on this song. Why they had such a testimony, Paul and Silas, how because they had a testimony, how they turned the world upside down. I'll say this while I preach tonight. I'm not looking for the favor of man. I'm not looking, in spite of what my wife said, for a pat on the back. I'm not looking, I get more than a pat on the back sometimes. But sometimes I feel like they're getting ready to kick me. But I don't say this to you tonight. I'm not looking for that tonight. I'm not looking for the approval of men or the approval of this world. I'm not looking for that. But here's what I want to say tonight. We ought to have a testimony how a lost and a dying world that can see, thank God, there's something different about us. I would hate to live and die in the area where I live and would have never influenced anyone at all. Are y'all hearing me preach tonight? Hey, the world ought to know who we are tonight. Hey, y'all ought to know there's something different about us tonight. We look different. We talk different. We act different. We smell different. Hello, are you hearing me? Hey, there's something different about an all-time Christian tonight. My wife and I, we built a house 6 years ago where we live right now. And it's in a development, but it's not the development. There's 30 or 40 houses in this development. I'm at the very end. As you first turn out off 67, I'm at the very end of it, right where it starts. And down below me, and on both sides of me, there's about 30 or 40 houses. They're built on about a half acre or three quarters acre land. I have 5.5 acres. We can get in a good fight and they won't even hear us. I like it that way. But here's what I started to say to you tonight. When I was building that house and moved in that area, my first thing I done was knocked on every door. I said, my name is Preacher Barker. I'm the man building a new house up here to the road. I just want you to know I love you. I want you to go to heaven with me and start a gospel track with them. And by the way, listen to this. That's been 6 years ago, and guess what? Most of them don't know a thing about God. Most of them as lost as a ball in high grass. How about, listen to me. When they want somebody to pray, when they want somebody, are you hearing me preach tonight? You know who they call? Now we got a Methodist minister at the end of our street. How she is a lesbian. Pastor of the Methodist church in our town for years and years. They don't call her. They call the man of God. Are y'all here? They ought to be. They ought to know there's something different about us tonight. Are y'all hearing me preach tonight? Hey, I want to tell you, they made such an impact on the world. Hey, the lost world looked at Paul and said, these has turned the world upside down. I thought about this when I said it today. Acts chapter 3, verse number 5, don't turn. That lame man is sitting at the temple when them boys getting ready to go in the temple to pray. And the Bible said that the lame man, of course he's asking alms, you know the story. But the lame man expected to receive something from the guys going to the temple to pray. Can I tell you something tonight? It's worlds looking at you and I tonight. And I'm good. Thank God we got something to give them tonight. Hey, we got a story to tell. Thank God. That's real this evening. And can I say this real quick? What a joy. What a joy just to be able to tell that story. Boy, our choir director tonight, our brother over here, I told my wife, I said, he just got done preaching my introduction. What a story we've got to tell tonight. Hear me tonight. Hey, the Lord, what does the world see when they see you? When they pass by your house, what do they say? When they pass by your house, when you're out in the yard, what do they see? Are y'all hearing me preach? I'm going to be nice. Hey, we ought to look like a Christian. We ought to act like a Christian. We ought to dress like a Christian. We ought to speak white. We ought to tell people about Jesus. Hey, what does the world see when they see you? And by the way, can I say this before I preach? We are the only Bible many of them will ever read. We're the only Bible that see. What version are you? Are you hearing me tonight? I'm going to be nice, but don't say this tonight. They had a testimony. Hey, turn the world. These lost people said that. Those unbelieving Jews said, man, there's something different here. And hear me tonight. That's the way it ought to be with us tonight. Hey, they ought to say, thank God there's something different. Are you listening? I was on vacation. I was saying that today. Last year, my wife and I was on vacation down in Atlantic City. And a couple that I used to pastor, we go on vacation with them every year. We have a good time, go fishing. And Brother Rich and I go fishing. He's got about a 21-foot boat. Goes out in the ocean fishing. And we go fishing, and my wife and the other lady go shopping. And then I go home broke, but listen to this. We went down to, I don't remember the name of that place. You know where it's at if I can remember the name of it, to eat supper one night. And we was in there, and boy, that place was packed. It was packed. Matter of fact, we had to wait probably 45 minutes to get in there. After a while, we got in, and it was packed full. And we're sitting there waiting to get our food. And all of a sudden, over here across from us was a big table. This guy come walking in, he and his wife. They had 4, 5, 6 children. My eyeballs ran out of the end of my nose. I could not believe what I was seeing. You're talking about old-fashioned Christians. They even remind me of Amish people, the way they were dressed. And man, I'm talking about look like a Christian. And I walked over to the table and I said, boy, it sure is good to see some folk that dresses godly. I said, where do you go to church? Boy, we got to talking. They don't live far from where I live. And listen to me now. Hey, something different about you and I. Hallelujah. There ought to be something different about us tonight. Let me tell you this. I'm going to preach in a minute. You don't have to bow your head to nobody. You say, well, dear Lord, we just don't fit in. Well, thank God. I don't want to fit in. I'm telling you, when I got saved, I got such a jerk towards heaven. I've been out of step with this world ever since. Are you hearing me tonight? There ought to be something different about us tonight. But those lost, you said, these has turned the world upside down. What do they see when they see you? I'll give you this, I'm going to preach. The old-time preacher's camp meeting had the opportunity to help start that in 1988, Brother Craig Edwards and myself. And that was 1988. And I never will forget, for almost 25 years I was moderator of that camp meeting. And I remember we headed under a gospel tent to start with, then it moved from there to Turner's Creek Baptist Church where I was pastor for 16 years there. And it got so large we had to have it in the gym. Our gym was a full-size gym, ball court, whole 9 yards and everything. And so we had to move it there. There's a lot of times we'd have 1,000 people a night at that camp meeting. And I remember one week, man, you talking about it getting on. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about getting on. Did y'all hear what I said? He got home. I mean, I'm telling you, it was unexplainable. And we had services every morning at 10 o'clock also. The next morning we went into the gym that I'm getting ready to start this morning service. And I saw this lady come in that I'd never seen before. And I walked back and I shook her hand right before service and I said, I'm Preacher Barker. Thank you for coming to meet me today. What's your name? Where are you from? And she told me where she's from. But she worked at Unify. Unify is a textile plant in the Aiken County area. And she worked day shift. I think it's like from 7 to 7, it's 12-hour shifts. And she said, I went into work this morning. And there was a crowd in there this morning that talked about what happened over here last night. And said, I went to my supervisor. And I said, can I get off from 10 to 12? And I'll come back work after in the afternoon. And she said, I heard what was going on. I wanted to come and see. Hey, are y'all hearing me? Hey, I'll tell you, there ought to be something different for him. Oh, this unbelieving Jew said, these has turned the world upside down. Oh, brother. Can I say this now? I'm going to preach. When you drive up and down Columbia Highway, is that Columbia Highway? Highway 21. If you go all the way up 21, you'll come within 3 miles of my house. But you better have 3 days to do it. But here's what I start to say. When you drive up and down, and I thought about today when I was coming back from town this morning. Grace Baptist Church. Wonder what the world thinks when they drive by. Wonder what they see when they drive by. Wonder what they hear. Somebody by chance flipping through the radio channels and hear what's going on at Grace Baptist. Can I tell you this and I'll tell you what I think? I think of an old-fashioned, old-time, fundamental Bible preaching church where the Word of God is given out. Hey, where sinners is loved and the story told. Amen. Hey, they're looking on for Him. I say to you now, why did they have such a testimony? They turned the world upside down. I'll give you two, three things and I'll be done. Number one, I'll say first of all, tonight they had a testimony that turned the world upside down because it's found in Acts 1:8. I'm going to give you the point in a minute. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Bible also said in Acts chapter 4 and verse 33, and with great power the apostles give witness of the resurrection of Jesus. I may preach on that Sunday. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. I won't tell you why they had that testimony. It's simply because they was conscious of a power. It wasn't their ability. It wasn't what they could do. Hello. I'm telling you, they was conscious of a power. It wasn't them. It wasn't their education. It wasn't what they could do. But thank God, it was somebody else working through them. They was conscious of a power. Can I say this real quick? The older I get, and I've always realized this, but the older I get, the more I realize what a zero I am without God. I'm telling you, I'm an absolute zero without God. Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Would you pray with all your power while we try to preach a word? Cause all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Here's the deal tonight. He's already down here. There's no doubt about that. What are we doing with Him tonight? I say to you tonight, they turned the world upside down because they had a testimony. Well, you listen, they was conscious of a power. I'll say it one more time. You just don't. Only this preacher. And Brother Jacob back there is learning it. You just don't realize how helpless I was 30 seconds before he called me on that platform. I'm just a man. I'm just flesh. I'm just a man. And if the Spirit of God, the unction of the Holy Ghost, that helped me, I'm going to make you sick while I'm sitting up there. I want to tell you tonight, we're nothing tonight. Can I tell you something tonight? You're nothing in that Sunday school class without the power of God. You're nothing in the choir singing without the power of God. Hey, we're nothing on our daily job without the power of God. They was conscious of a power. I want to say to you tonight, listen to me real good. Hey, that's why they had a testimony. They turned the world upside down. It was somebody else in them. It was somebody else working through them. They was conscious of a power. Amen. And you know what bothers me this day, preacher? I'm in a different church every week. And I'm not being ugly, and I'm not being judgmental, I'm just telling the truth. We have got so mechanical in our Baptist church tonight. I really believe this tonight. A lot of them can just go on and do it without God. They don't have to have Him. They just ain't done it so much. They've got so mechanical, they got so used to it. Are you hearing me tonight? Hey, I'll tell you tonight, I don't want it that way. I want Him tonight. I say I want Him tonight. I say I want Him tonight. Hey, they was conscious of the power. It wasn't their ability, but it was God working through them. And I'll say to you here on Wednesday night at your church, if you ever do anything for God, you know this tonight. I'm telling you, it won't be you, it'll be Him. It won't be what you can do, it'll be Him. I don't care how much education you got. Hey, I don't care how many Bible colleges you've been to, and I'm for that. I just want to say tonight, it's Him tonight, thank God. It's Him tonight. I just come through the book of Samuel. Samuel told Saul this right here. 1 Samuel chapter 10 verse 6. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and thou shalt be turned into another man. man. I don't want to come up here without the other man. I don't want to witness without the other man. I don't want to sing without the other man. Neither do you want me to. Are you hearing me tonight? I need him. I read this story some time ago. This large church, big shot church, where all the uptown people went. One Sunday morning, there were several hundred people there. And it come time to start the morning worship service, and the preacher was nowhere to be found. And the lady sitting on the front row with the choir, and the choir with the big old hats on got disturbed and got embarrassed because it was time to start the service. And it come time the man of God. And they told a little girl, said, go back in the office. Go back down the hall and go to the preacher's office study. And see if you can find the preacher. It's time to start church. That little girl went running back to the pastor's office back there. And when she got right at the door, she heard a groaning. She heard somebody on the inside. Oh, God. Oh, Holy Ghost, I can't do it without you. I won't go without you. I won't go without you. It like to scare the little girl to death. She come running back out. I stood on the platform and said, hey, he's coming in a minute. That other's coming too. Can I tell you something? Preach, I don't want to go without that other one. I don't want to preach without that other one. I'm telling you tonight, oh my soul, hear me well tonight. Oh, they was conscious of a power. You ever thought about what happens when the power of God falls? Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas been falsely accused and thrown in jail at Philippi. And it's all over getting somebody saved. That's why it was all over. I threw him in jail. Are you listening to me now? And Paul didn't say to Silas, when we get our phone call, we're going to call David Gibbs, the Christian Law Association, because we've been mistreated. We're going to call. That's not what Paul said. About midnight, Paul and Silas was a praying and a praising God. Amen. And then the Bible said they began to sing praises unto the Lord. And when they began to pray and sing praises unto God, guess what happened? You're talking about jailhouse rock. Elvis didn't have this hit on that. Are you hearing me? Hey, the foundation of that jail began to shake. When the power of God fell, guess what happened? Their bands were loosened. Buddy, you're talking about getting liberty when God shows up. Are you hearing me? Guess what? The sleepers woke up. Guess what? They all stayed. Guess what? The sinners got saved. Hey, I'm telling you, well, that's what we need tonight. Oh, the power of God. That's what gets the job done. Here's what they done. They waited. They went. They witnessed and they won. Are y'all with me in that? I said, number one, they waited. Look at chapter one. I said, number two, they went looking at chapter two. I said, number three, they witnessed. And then I say, number four, they won. You say, who did win? They won sinners. And Acts chapter number three, chapter two, you'll find 3,000 getting saved. Acts chapter four, 5,000 get saved. Acts chapter five, you find a multitude getting saved. Acts chapter number 11, you find a great number getting saved. Acts chapter number, and on you go with it. Hey, hear me tonight. Oh, and the power of God, that's what we need tonight. More than anything in the world. It's the old time power. Are you listening? They had a testimony. They turned the world upside down because they was conscious of a power. Number two, in the book of Acts tonight, they had a testimony that turned the world upside down in the book of Acts because they continued in prayer. All through the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, verse 13, 14, you'll find them in the upper room praying. Oh boy. Oh boy. Acts chapter 2 verse 42. And from house to house, fellowship and breaking bread and praying. Acts chapter number 4 verse 31. When they prayed, the Bible said the place was shaken. Are y'all hearing me preach tonight? I want to tell you the missing link in most churches tonight. It's that all-time intercessor prayer meeting tonight. It's getting along with God. And can I say this tonight? It's not necessarily what you do at church, but it's what you do during the week. Are you hearing me? Getting along with God. That's the answer tonight. Hear me well tonight. They continued in prayer. The missing link in most churches tonight is what I'm saying tonight. No wonder it's dry. No wonder it's so dry. Are you hearing that? No wonder nothing ever happens. But I will tell you, when a group of believers will get together and get a hold of God, thank God, I promise you things will happen. I love prayer meetings. We, churches I pastored, we'd always have either a Friday night prayer meeting or a Saturday night prayer meeting. And I want to tell you, through them Friday nights and Saturday night prayer meetings, I'm telling you, I've seen things happen. I've seen sinners get saved that would have never got saved. I've seen homes get put back together that would have never got put back together. I've seen God call them boys to preach. I've seen God change homes. Are you hearing me tonight? Hey, they continued in prayer. That's why they had a testimony. They turned the world upside down. I want to ask you a question. How much you prayed from Sunday morning? Let me change that. How much you prayed from Monday morning to Saturday night? Are you listening to me? I tell you, the greatest thing you'll ever do for this preacher. Number one, send him to Hawaii. Number two, no, I didn't mean that. Number one is pray for him. The greatest thing you'll ever do for your preacher and his wife tonight is hold him up to God in prayer. You just don't, you don't realize tonight the stress and the pressure there is in this day among the men of God, on the man of God. My son is my pastor, and I got just a little insight on some of that stuff with him. And some of the crazy stuff, I mean just absolutely crazy stuff that he has to put up with from time to time. Hear me, church, the greatest thing you'll ever do for this man in his while is hold him up to God in prayer. They need, are you hearing me tonight? I say to you tonight, hey, just keep on praying, man. Hey, you say God hasn't done anything, just keep on praying. I'll say to you tonight, they continued in prayer. That's why they had that testimony. I mean, that's what KT is. I bet you do. That went up in a hurry. Vietnam man here. Thank you, brother. Guy pulled up beside us at the restaurant a while ago. Had a Navy. Had on where he'd been in the Navy. I shook his hand. Thanked him for his service. Thank you, brother. You the man coming out of that uniform on Sunday? Are you the one? Where's he at? He's going to the bathroom. He's going out to smoke. He'll be back. Man, listen to this. These two soldiers was assigned to KP. And they're sitting in the kitchen and there was taters everywhere. Now, if I was down the road about a mile inside the city limits, I'd say potatoes. But being way out of the city limits, there was taters everywhere. A mountain of taters. And they're sitting there peeling those potatoes. One soldier looked over to the other soldier and said, "What in the world's this KP business mean anyhow?" Other soldier said, "I believe it means keep on peeling. But for the child of God, it means keep on praying." Amen. Are you listening? Don't stop praying. Amen. Had a guy saved in my last church. His mother prayed for him 40 years. Wow. 40 years. He got saved 2012. 40 years. The day he got saved, it was taking $300 a day to supply his drug habit. He was making thousands of dollars every week. You don't have to wonder what he's doing. Are you listening to me? It took $300 a day to supply his drug. His mama prayed for him 40 years. 40 years. Guess what that guy's doing tonight? He's the pastor of the Maranatha Baptist Church in Yadkin County, North Carolina. You know what it means? Just keep on praying. Hey, church, if I could tell you anything now, just keep on praying. You say, God hadn't answered. Yeah, but just keep on praying. I'm telling you, we'll reap if we faint not. Hey, they turned the world upside down. They was conscious of a power. They was conscious of a power. They continued in prayer. Then I want to say real quick, they turned the world upside down. Because they was committed to a person. Commitment. You know what my daddy said before he went to heaven? In 07, laying on his deathbed, you know what my daddy said? After pastoring 55 years, here's my daddy's word. "Son, there ain't much commitment in our churches anymore." Well, if he's alive today, he'd have a heart attack. All right, that was 07. He said, "Son, there's not much commitment." And I'll tell you this evening, that a testimony that turned the world upside down because they was committed to a person. Not a denomination, but a person. Not to some club out there somewhere, but a person. Hear me tonight, they was committed to a person. I read this today, and we're not going to take time to go through it again. But in Acts chapter number 5, you'll find them boys was preaching in Jesus' name. And because of that, they got upset. And the Bible said, I'll just read it, Acts chapter 5, and where are we at? Verse number 40. They got upset because they's preaching in Jesus' name. They commended them not to do it anymore. And they told them not to do it anymore. And they was commended not to preach anymore. Look at verse number 40. And to him they agreed that when they called the apostles, they beat them and commended that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. They beat them. They persecuted them. Watch this. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Watch this next verse. And daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus. Here's some guys that took a lid, kept on ticking. Are y'all hearing that? That's committed to a person. Hey, listen to me now. I tell you what your pastor needs tonight. He needs somebody that will be committed to Christ tonight. I mean, just love him and committed to him. These men were committed men. These men was converted men. These men was compassionate men. And I'll say to you tonight, hey, they took a lick, thank God, and just kept on ticking. We don't have many committed people anymore. I remember, missionary, I got to hurry. I remember a missionary come to my church probably 35 years ago. And I never will forget his name was Jerry Mosher. And he was legally blind. And his wife was blind. Lori was blind, wasn't she? She was blind, but he was legally blind. You know what he was? He was a missionary to Nova Scotia, Canada. Legally blind. He could see you there, but he couldn't see you good enough to tell who you are. He could see your shadow. And a missionary to Nova Scotia. And what would happen every day? Well, the men in the church would take Jerry and Lori, his wife, 30 miles one way or the other. And they had a two-seated bicycle. And they'd ride that bicycle back to town, to the church. And they would come down the road, and he could see the driveway, the shadow. He could see the shadow. She's blind. She couldn't see anything. He could see the shadow of a house. And 30 miles they would pile that bicycle back and stop at them houses when he'd see the shadow and knock on them doors. I'm talking about a committed person. Hey, he didn't sit down and quit. He didn't sit down and lick his wounds. He didn't sit down and feel sorry for himself. He didn't sit down and get on some government program and quit doing it. No, sir. Hey, serve God. You know what he said? He said, I used to have a motorboat. And they lived, there's a big lake there, thousands of houses around that lake. And he said he could take the motorboat and go around the shoreline to them houses and visit. One day ran up on a stump, tore it up. So he got a bicycle. Are you listening? Hey, I'm talking about being committed tonight. Oh, my soul. You know why they turned the world upside down? It was a person that was committed. And may I say this real quick? I want that. I want to stay that way till I die. Hey, I won't go out here on fire for God. If you'll start right, stay right, you'll finish right. I preached revival 3 or 4 weeks ago in New Grace Baptist Church, Thomasville, North Carolina. 1992 is the first time I preached in that church. And I remember one of the first times I preach there every year. And I remember one of the first times I went there. There's a lady in that church that just got saved. And that week I told them I would give them a Scofield Bible. For the one that brought the most visitors. You say you ain't supposed to give stuff away. I guess so. I'd give a Bible away. And I gave a Scofield Bible away, the one that brought the most visitors. That lady just got saved. Guess what she did? She brought 95 visitors to church that week. Wow. 95 visitors. Wow. And a bunch of them got saved. I'm talking about commitment. She'd go home at night after service and get on the phone. She'd get up the next day when she'd come home work. After work, she'd go, 95 visitors and 5 nights of a service. And several of them got saved. And even after that, the pastor called me. I talked about others that got saved. Hey, we just need some committed folk tonight. Years ago, I'll give you this illustration. I'll not finish this. Years ago, I was preaching revival. Not far from where we was talking. Emmanuel, where you preached? Not far from there. I was preaching revival at Shining Light Baptist Church. This is 93, 94 something. And I was going to church one night, and I was driving a 15-passenger van, and the van was full of people, loaded. I'm going up Interstate 77, and all of a sudden, it felt just like a bulldozer set down on my chest. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't hardly get my breath. And I have never had pain shoot out my shoulder and through my arm. I thought, my Lord, this That's not good. And something going on. And I didn't tell nobody anything. Two reasons. Number one, if I told them, they wouldn't let me drive, and I don't like to ride with nobody else. Number two, I knew if I told them, they wouldn't let me preach. I get to Shining Light Baptist Church, church full of people. And boy, went through the service, great service. I'm sitting on the front row getting ready to preach. I'm about to die, man. I can't even hardly breathe. My arms are killing me. And preacher said, Brother Elmo Hines, he said, Pastor Barker, you come on, it's time for the preaching. This is a God's truth. I stepped up off that front pew and started the pulpit. When I made the first step up on the platform, every pain I had in my body went away. I preached about 50 minutes like a big old dog running a rabbit. We had one more time. When I got done preaching, I hadn't even got off the platform. And every bit of it come back. Got home that night, I told my wife, I said, I don't feel good. I didn't tell her the whole story. I said, I don't feel good. I'm going to go see Dr. Goodson tomorrow. I went to see Dr. Goodson. This is back in the day when they did the EKGs. Had the little buggy they pushed around. Had all them leagues and wires, and they don't do it that way now. They do a computer now, but back in it's back in the older days. And he come in, checked me, listened to my heart. He said, "You lay down and don't you move." I thought, okay. And all of a sudden, the door flung open. That's good English, isn't it? The door swung open, and here come out a little lady pushing that buggy. Now I visited hospitals all the time, and I knew what she's getting ready to do. I thought, going on, wonder what's the matter with me. And evidently that week they hadn't made any money at all because they didn't have any sharp razors and they pulled all the hairs out of my chest. They tried to shave it, but it wasn't shaved. They did that EKG and I'm laying out while they're doing the EKG and I watched that thing. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And while I'm laying out, preacher, God give me a message. And I went back to my church and I preached on the EKG of the church. Up, down, up, down, up, down. Are you listening? I really did. I preached on the EK. I got that outline somewhere and preached it. They took me from there, took me from South Hospital, Winston-Salem, put me in the hospital, stayed in the hospital several days. Did a catheterization, went up this side one day, went up the other side the other day, and when they got done doing all the catheterization, doing all the, they couldn't find my heart. I didn't have one. No, here's what happened. When they got done doing all the tests, doctor come in and sat down beside my bed and said, "Preacher, you're going to die. You not had a heart attack. Yeah, everything's fine. You got some small blockages, but they don't mean anything." "They don't?" And he said, "You not had a heart attack, but here's what your problem is. You're going to die if you don't get out from under the stress you're under." See, when they can't find out what's wrong with you, it's stress. Are you listening? So my thought is simply this tonight. Up, down. You know what we need tonight? We need some committed people. I started to say something, but it wouldn't work if I say it. I started to say we need some people that's got a straight line. That won't work. But hear me tonight. I didn't even know thought about that, but listen to me. Take that off the tape, what I just said. Are you listening? Yeah. Are you listening? They turned the world upside down. Because they was committed people. They turned the world upside down because they was compelled to preaching. Everywhere they went, they preached. They preached because they was called. They preached because they was committed. They preached because they was compassionate, man. Everywhere they went, they preached. Look up here and listen to him. I'm just about done. You ought to thank God you got a man of God that preaches. Thumbies uptown. Elevation deals around here that's called churches. They don't have no preacher. They don't even know what preaching is. Are you listening to me? Got somebody sitting on a stool, tell some stories. I'll tell you something. God honors preaching. It's a preaching of the Word of God that gets a job done. And I want to say tonight, but you've got that kind of preacher tonight. And I want to say what we need in this day is some old-fashioned preachers that will take the King James Bible and rear back and preach. Are y'all hearing me? Hey, listen, they turned the world upside down. Everywhere they went, they preached. They just preached everywhere they went. And I'll say it one more time. That's what gets the job done. I'm not against singing. I'm for singing. But that's not what God honors tonight. He honors the preaching of the Word of God. It's foolish to the world, but it's the power of God. It gets the job done. If you're preaching from the Bible, preach on. If you're longing for revival, preach on. Preach for sinners to hear salvation. Preach for Christians consecration, preach on. If your sermon's from the Lord, preach on. Never mind if they look bored, just preach on. If you step on someone's corns, preach on. Take the bull right by the horns and just preach on. Let not time be restriction. If the sinner's got conviction, Christ can save his soul from hell, cleanse his heart and make him well. Even if it's after 12, just preach on. Christ for every situation, preach on. If your members doubt it and say they live without it, if you talk to God about it, just preach on. Amen. I love preaching. Preaching's what gets the job done. I'll tell you why they turned the world upside down. I had that testimony. It was simply because they was compelled to preaching, man. Peter stood on the day of Pentecost. They didn't have the Grasshopper Quartet in. He preached on the resurrection of Christ. It got the job done. Are y'all hearing me? I'm telling you, they was compelled to preaching. I'm not going to finish this. I'll tell you why they had testimony to turn the world upside down. They was concerned for people. The lame man, Acts 3. The eunuch, Acts 8. Saul, Acts 9. Cornelius' house, Acts 10. Philippian jealous crowd, Acts 16. They was concerned for people. I'm around preachers all the time. I think I can read them pretty good. And you know what I read about this preacher? He loves you. Nod your little heads at me. He loves you. Miss Donna loves you. This family loves you. And I don't tell you why they turned the world upside down or had the testimony they did, but it's what they had a concern for the people. I'm going to just throw this out. I'm done. I'll tell you why they had testimony they turned the world upside down. They contributed their possessions. You don't want to crank up on that, do you? You say, did they tithe? No, they didn't tithe. They gave it all. They brought it all and laid at the apostles' feet. So we're getting by pretty good in this day, 10% plus faith promise. They contributed their possessions. I close with this. They had a testimony that turned the world upside down because they was convinced of a promise. You'll say, what was their promise? Well, here it is. I give it to you last night. I give it to you again. I'm done. Jesus died, was buried, and rose again the third day. Hung around 40 days. Went out to Mount of Olives. Reached up, got a cloud, pulled it down, stepped up on it, said, glory, please. And it left out. Here's what he said. He dispatched two angels. God dispatched two angels and said, you men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus that you see go away shall come again also in like manner. And ma'am, you know what they done? Everywhere they went, they said, you know what he said? You know what he said when he left us? He'd be back. Hey, sir, you know what he said right before he left? Just as he's leaving out, he said, I'll be back. Hey, ma'am, you know what he said? He said he's coming back. And when he's coming back, you're not going to have a foot problem. Isn't that going to be good? And he's coming back. Hey, brother, you know what he said? And when he was leaving away, he said, I will come. They was convinced of a promise. Yeah. They was convinced, thank God, he's coming back again. And can I say this to you tonight? I'm convinced of that too. Amen. Yeah. I might get resurrected out of the bed, the prophet's chamber. I might get resurrected before the prophet's chamber. Just any second now, Jesus is coming. I'm done. Listen to this. If he comes tonight and you're not saved, you're going to be left behind. You know, I'm going to tell you something sad about that? Here's the deal. If you've heard the gospel and you understood the gospel and you rejected the gospel during the grace age, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 tells you exactly what will happen. 2 Thessalonians makes it real clear. You know what you're going to do? You're going to believe a lie of the Antichrist and be damned forever and die and go to hell. You're right. And by the way, listen to me now. If you've heard the gospel and understood it, and Jesus comes tonight and you're left behind, you're done. You're not going to get saved. Right. You'll say, well, now, Brother Parker, I will endure the tribulation. No, you won't. I'm going to tell you exactly what you do. Read Revelation 6. You're going to curse God. That's what you'll do. Blaspheme. Are you hearing me? I'm going to tell you now, it's a dangerous thing to gamble with the fact whether or not Jesus is coming. He comes tonight and you're not saved. You'll be left behind. All your loved ones that saved will be gone. They'll be gone. They'll be gone. My daddy used to preach on the rapture of the church and second coming of Christ. And he'd scare me the devil. He'd say, if Jesus comes tonight, you'll be left behind and we'll be gone. There'll be two at the meal, one be taken, one be left. Be two at grinding at the meal, one will be taken, one be left. Be two in a bed, one be taken. And I know some of that's having reference to the revelation instead of the rapture. But he would use that and he taught that. He'd scare the daylights out of me. I was a young fella. It would scare me to death. And I'd go home at night. My mom and daddy's bedroom was next to my brother's. I have two brothers. One I was in heaven, one I'm still alive. By the way, my brother went to jail today and preached. Had two saved. Isn't that good? Amen. But anyhow, my mom and daddy's bedroom was right beside of us. And daddy would say, if Jesus comes, we'll be gone. You'll be left behind. And I'd be laying on my bed at night, trying to go to sleep, and wet my bed with tears because I was afraid Jesus would come and my mom and daddy would be gone. I'd be left behind. And the only way, brother, the only way I could get any peace, I'd get up out of my, this is a God's truth, I'd get up out of my bed. I know that two Cracker Jacks in the bed, we weren't going to have them. My two brothers had sleep with two brothers. It was awful. Are you hearing me? It's awful. It's terrible. And I was the baby, so I had to sleep between them. And I knew either one of them wasn't saved. They meaner than I was. So the only way I knew if Jesus come, they weren't going anywhere either. So the only way I'd get any peace, here's what I'd do. I'd get up out of my bed, 2 o'clock in the morning, open the door to my mom and daddy's bedroom. And my mom always left the light on in the kitchen where he could see. It shined in her bedroom. And I'd see two humps. I'd go back, go to bed, and go to sleep. Because I knew they were still there. You say, preacher, you've lost your mind. That's exactly what's going to happen. If Jesus comes tonight and you're not saved, you're going to be left behind. Your loved one's going to be gone. You'll have to go through the tribulation, hell on earth 7 years, and then die and go to hell. That's awful, man. That's a terrible way to end a sermon, but it's the truth. You know what I do tonight? Listen to this. You know what I'd do tonight if I wasn't saved? I'd run to this altar. I wouldn't put it off another day. I'd run to this altar. Let me tell you why. Because he may come before I get done preaching. I don't know when he's coming. You don't know. I just know he's coming. And when you look at what's happening right now, you wonder why he hadn't already come. I said, when you see what's happening right now, you wonder why he hadn't already come. Do you know Christ? If you do know Christ, let me ask you a question. What kind of testimony are you making? What kind of testimony are you living? What's the world see when they see you? I'm not trying to impress nobody. I'm not trying to get the world's favor. This world's no friend of grace. You put that down. But they ought to see something different about us. Would you agree with that? What do you see on the job? What do you see when you go to the store? One of my favorite things is filling up gas. When I'm filling up my car with gas. Why do you rating that guy on the other side of that tank filling his car up? You say he's filling his car up with gas. No, that's not why he's there. He's there so you can give him a track. I love it, man. I love it. I can tell you some stories about that. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, tonight, there's not one doubt in my mind about the message tonight. I thought long and hard and prayed much about what to preach on tonight. Wednesday night, I want to be a blessing to the church, be a help. I pray tonight, Lord, that you'll take the word of God and you'll help your people tonight. Help us tell the right kind of testimony. Help us have a testimony at Grace Baptist that we're guilty of trying to turn the world upside down and reach our community for God. I pray help us tonight. Help us have that kind of testimony. But most of all tonight, Lord, I want to ask you this. If there's somebody here tonight not saved, they're not really, really, really sure they know God. They're not really sure if they died, they'd go to heaven. If there's somebody here in that condition tonight, help them realize they're gambling with their eternal soul. And they got a soul that's going to spend eternity either in heaven or hell one. If they die without Christ, we know what's going to happen. I pray right now, in Jesus' name, may the sweet Spirit of God finger around that heart of that individual in this service that don't really have the real assurance that they're saved. They don't have the real assurance they'd go to heaven if they die. Help them realize they could die tonight. It's appointed unto men once to die. And of course, after that, the judgment. And I pray tonight, Lord, help them realize that. Not only realize that, but be willing to do something about it tonight. Our heads are bowed and nobody looking around. I wonder if they get to be one here tonight or two or three. Maybe just want to raise your hand, and by raising your hand, say, "Preacher, I'm either not saved or I'm not sure. I don't want to be left behind when Jesus comes. I'm either not saved or I'm not sure. I would really appreciate for you and the pastor to pray for me. There's nobody looking but us. And listen to me, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to come to you. I'm going to pray for you that you'll get saved before it's too late." Anybody want to raise your hand for prayer? "Preacher, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven if I died. Would you pray for me right now?" I will if you raise your hand. Are you interested enough? Where are you going to spend eternity? Just let me pray for you. If you don't know, you're saved. Would you raise that hand right now? Just let me pray for you. Do you care that much? I'll tell you this. 3 minutes after Jesus comes, you'll care. But it'll be too late then. It'll be too late then. But it's not too late right now. Will you let me pray for you? I'm looking. Anybody anywhere? Anybody anywhere? Father, please help us tonight. Is anybody here lost tonight? I pray, God, that you somehow or another will deepen the conviction in their heart. Trouble their heart. Take their sleep away tonight. Help them see. If they die, they'll die and go to hell for eternity and never have another opportunity. Oh, God, please tonight. Please do that I can't do. Our heads are still bowed. You can still come tonight. You can still come. Anybody anywhere? Anybody anywhere? All right, everybody look at me. Preacher, can I finish the invitation the way I feel led to finish it? Come here. Miss Donna. This is my friend right here. I mean that. I love him. By the way, I love y'all. I like coming here. Y'all let me preach. I don't have preaching needed here. I enjoy it.
Amen.
Two of the finest people I know in America are standing right there on that altar. I tell you what y'all to do tonight. If your testimony is not what it ought to be, y'all ask God to forgive you. But I tell you what y'all to do tonight. Ask God to forgive you. But number two, y'all to come up here and hug this preacher tonight. I don't know how y'all do it at Grace. Where I go to church, the men hug the men, the women hug the women. Don't hug my wife. She's my girlfriend. I'll hurt you if you mess with my wife. Are you listening? I don't know how you do it at Grace. Have you do it, just do it. But I'll tell you what y'all do tonight. How many is here? Raise your hand. I say, how many is here? Raise your hand real high. You ought to get out of your pew right now where you're at. And come here and hug this man of God's neck and his wife. Say, "Preacher, we love you. We thank God for you. And whatever we can do to help you turn our community upside down for God, whatever I can do, however I'm being used, I want you to know I love you and I'm with you tonight." You love your preacher? More than that, do you love God? More than that, are you committed to Him? How many would do that while she's playing right now? I'm first. I love you, preacher.
God bless you.
Bless you, brother. Love you, preacher.